Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Friday, and thank you for tuning in to the latest edition of City of Champions Radio here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Matt Geica. It's been a busy week at City of Champions. Content from pretty much every team that plays in the Pittsburgh area. On the front page right now, we have stories on the Pittsburgh Pirates currently playing an afternoon game to start their weekend series against the Cubs at Wrigley Field. Not off to a good start, but Larry Snyder has your preview as always. And Larry also had a piece on the Pittsburgh Steelers, signing two of their draft picks, including Bud Dupree, their number one pick out of the University of Kentucky. I have a City of Champions TV video, which was intended to be around a minute, ended up being about three, just myself ranting about the current state of the NHL, and especially that Rangers-Capitals series in which seemingly every game finished 2-1, which actually sounds a lot like how the Penguins-Rangers series went in the first round. So all that's there, and plus a Pittsburgh Riverhounds preview as the Hounds return home this weekend after a pair of games on the road, both of which were losses. Now they'll try to find that consistency that's been eluding them. I went down to Highmark Stadium for their training session yesterday morning, and they were talking about, to a man, the need to get off to that good start. They have allowed the first goal of the game in five out of their seven matches. So that'll be priority number one coming up for them. That's Saturday night at Highmark Stadium. If you're in the area, should be a great night for soccer as the Hounds take on the Richmond Kickers, who have just one loss on the season. So a big-time collision in USL action coming up in just about 24 hours. And with that, I'd like to welcome aboard today's featured guest. He is both a podcaster and a writer and longtime friend of mine on the internet, one of those friends you make online that you never really meet in person, but he had me on his podcast back a couple of years ago, and I'm returning the favor today. His name is TJ McAloon, and he joins me on City of Champions Radio. TJ, thanks for the time today.
No problem, Matt. No problem, Matt. I swear if we ever happen to catch a Yingling at PNC or wherever, I will not catfish you. I'm not really a 5'10" Asian female that's really 14 years old.
Well, I mean, not that there's anything wrong with being any of those things, but it would definitely be a misrepresentation of what I think
One hell of a cartoon voice. Yeah, one hell of a voice recognition right there that I can pull off a 32-year-old white male with a 2-month-old in Austin, Texas. So it would be one heck of a trick that I think the people at Fox would like to hire for animation domination.
Well, you already told the listeners where you're living currently. Why don't you fill people in on your background, how you got into the sports business? I know now you're writing outside of the sports world too, but you do have college football podcasts, and I've seen you pop up in a whole variety of places, much like myself.
I try to freelance as much as possible. I mean, like you said, I started with Bleacher Report back when they were what everyone would know as clickbait, where you would do a slideshow of 50 slides of the 15 most exciting college football matchups that will explode your television set on Saturday. You know, just something that would sales search engineer organize and would pop onto your Google. And I did that for about a year with full time with their trending topics team. Those years, I said to you on offline today about it was the Tebow mania year. So I had to do 15 hits on Tebow each day, why he would resurrect football from what it was to why he should host Saturday Night Live and why his cartoon was going to be great. And I basically just wanted him to descend into hell where he came from after December came along. So, you know, then I started doing the podcast because I enjoy talking and having people on like yourself and, you know, your former partner in crime, Matt Shetler. That was always fun. Or just, I mean, it's amazing how you could just simply ask someone to do, you know, come on for 30 minutes onto a show, and they're like, sure. Like, just heading up Jonah Carey on Twitter saying, you have 30 minutes to come talk baseball. Sure, why not? David Shoemaker, the masked man to talk wrestling. He said, great, no problem. We talked for an hour on that. You know, Greg Wyszynski of Puck Daddy, he was one of my first guests. Or Seth Rohr, I don't know how the hell you say Seth's last name, from Empty Netters. He was more than happy to come on as well. So it's amazing what people will do for a little show that you think no one is really listening to.
Yeah, Jonah Carey and Greg Wyshynski definitely on my list for guys I'd love to talk to on this show. And I think it's Seth Rohrabaugh, German name, I want to say, for him. I have had him on a couple of times. He's a great guest. And, yeah, it is interesting, this new frontier of media, not just sports media, but media in general with the podcast. It's been great connecting with people around the world almost, really, when it comes down to it, whether it be Twitter or Facebook or what have you. But one of our, I guess, most common topics of conversation, we usually communicate on GChat as well, so there's another format for you. But you're always firing these, I call them crazy Penguins trade proposals to me. So I know you're a Pittsburgh sports fan. You care about the Pens. You want to see them get back on top in the NHL. So do you have any other ones that you haven't run by me, or do you want to maybe rehash a couple that you did send my way recently, trying to rejigger the Pens and get them back on track?
Well, now that CapGeek is no more, you know, rested so bad, you know, for his family and everything happened there. But it really put a kink in the armor of being able to somehow get Taylor Hall and Jordan Eberle and Neil Yakupov on the team while moving a bunch of salaries over and some sign-in trades with Winnipeg to get that all taken care of. So I'm not really sure if most of these harebrained trades will make sense in the salary cap. I mean, I grew up in Pittsburgh up until 26 years old, and I got sick of cold weather and thought while I was walking to work at PNC Park, if this weather doesn't improve or I'm here this time next year, I may just jump off the Clemente Bridge because I can't stand this cold weather. It basically was punch me in the face weather because you're so tight up and so just frigid walking in there that you hate everyone and everything. So it's why I got the heck out of that city to Austin, where a cold day is 46 degrees and people freak out about it. Hell, it's about 72 and cold and rainy today, and I thought about throwing a hoodie on because I was that cold while going to the supermarket.
Wow. But, yeah, that doesn't quite add up. Well, I will let you know that there is a replacement – I guess not a replacement for CapGeek, but there is another fan site out there called General Fanager. I just saw that on Twitter last week, and it seems like it's taken off pretty well. So there's another, I guess, way to try to see if some of your deals work. But it seems like Neil Yakupov is a very desired quantity for you. Would you agree with that?
He is. It's because he's young. I think he's like 21, 22. He's got, you know, he's a restricted free agent through Edmonton, which is, you know, it's going to be kind of hard to re-sign him. But his first 3 years have been very disappointing. It's maybe because he had a bad coach, he had a bad scheme. But you put him on the line with Malkin, and I wish I knew if they were playing together at the World Juniors, kind of like how Crosby and Taylor Hall are playing together in the World Juniors, or not World Juniors, but the World Championship. And you see some of these articles come out that Hall is enjoying his time with Crosby. You know, Hall said Crosby's not hard to play with, and that's my number one trade I want to make. You know, send Kunitz, send Scuderi, send Sutter, you know, everyone short of the core four. I would send off to Edmonton in a hot air balloon immediately, or drive them right to Pittsburgh International myself to send them up there and bring back Taylor Hall. Bring back, hopefully, the rights to Yakupov. Even bring back, I'm trying to think, one of the role players that might be good. Hell, if this front office loves bringing back former Penguins, bring back Andy Ferentz. Why not?
I don't know about D. I think I want to see the young guys play at this point. But up front, I'm willing to entertain any and all offers at this point. And, yes, it is funny to read those stories about Sid playing with Eberle and Hall. And it almost feels a little too easy to connect the dots there, doesn't it, with how well they've played together at the World Championships.
You don't need sources to say. You've got the source right there that telling you that they're enjoying playing with themselves. You don't need to worry about someone yelling at someone saying, go sell ice cream cones. You know exactly what's happening.
It has been fun to actually watch both Crosby and Malkin excel a little bit on the more, I guess, I don't know if it's just the fact that the ice is a little bit wider or a little bit less intensity, but I like watching the Stars do their thing, so it's been fun watching them put up some numbers over there. And I'm sure they're probably enjoying themselves, too, without everyone hanging off of them as they cross over the blue line. It does seem to be a little bit more of what hockey's supposed to be, at least in my mind, what's going on over there. What are your thoughts on the World Championships? We're definitely seeing a little bit more of that covered by NBC Sportsnet these days. I know that much.
Right. I think it helps playing Belarus, where their main people,
It does.
after this is done, they're going to go back to the mill rather than going back to their summer vacation, where it's going to be spent on some island far, far away that you and I can never afford to go to. So that helps in that realm. But no, I mean, the Olympic ice always opens up everything. So, you know, I had a buddy of mine say, well, could the American rinks do that? And I'm like, no, because those arenas have already been built and taxpayers don't need to build more rinks to screw up their city financing. So that, I mean, it does help that the talent is a lot less. You're not going up against world class like you are every night in the NHL, even the Coyotes. You know, anybody that would that might be on a country like Germany or Latvia, you know, they're their main star out there. But on the Coyotes, they're you know, barely a top nine forward. So, and to see like Jack Campbell, you know, I see him down here in Texas playing for the Stars. So it's really nice to see him get a chance to flourish and play on a national stage and show that, you know, he's going to be someone that we're going to be talking about hopefully in the next 2 or 3 years when we're seeing the, you know, Pens play at the Dallas Stars.
Yeah, Jack Campbell, it seemed like I haven't heard about him very much because Pittsburgh's own John Gibson kind of took over the hot young, you know, American goaltending prospect label. But for a while, it was all about Jack Campbell, wasn't it?
It was. And, I mean, even this year, he fell out of grace with the Stars a little bit. He got sent down to Idaho for the ECHL for about, I think, two to three weeks just as a way to get his head straight, whatever reason it was. I mean, he's been in Austin for, I'd say, the last 3 to 4 years, I think. Two to 4 years he's been here as their main guy. I know last year when they won the Calder Cup, he split time with him and I'm forgetting the Swede's name. That was Nielstrup. Nielstrup was the guy. You know, he split time with him as the Stars went on to win the Calder Cup. But he's been in this Dallas Stars system for, you know, like I said, it seems like forever. It's kind of like, what's the old guy who used to play for Wilkes-Barre Scranton that kind of never won anywhere? He's still in the minors now.
Tom Kostopoulos.
I wish, right? Yeah, Captain, it's like seeing Toby Peterson came down to Austin just last year to play. I'm like, hey,
oh, okay.
Hey, I know you, and I actually got a chance to interview him. And talking to him, I'm like, hey, I remember when you were with Mario. He goes, yeah, I was like on his line for his return game against the Maple Leafs. And I went, yeah, I was like a sophomore in high school. And we both looked at each other like, oh, Christ, we're both old. I'm like, yeah. I'm going to go over here now because I just embarrassed myself of trying to not geek out in front of you. But
I think I remember. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just trying to think of who that goalie was that's been in the Penguins system for, like, for, it seemed like forever until they finally shipped him out because he, like Chad Hermanson, was a 4A player. You know, he could never make it in the bigs, plus we have Fleury in front of him. So, you know, it's, yeah, so that's why I would just say, you know, hopefully he cracks Kari Lehtinen and gets into that role, but, you know, who knows.
Well, let's talk about just hockey in general. I have, I think I've liked the Western Conference playoffs better than the East. It feels like in the East there has been very little offensive ambition, but out West you've got, I think I'm rooting for the Ducks actually, because they play a very entertaining brand of hockey. Bruce Boudreau, you know, he always loves to open up the throttle, and playing the Blackhawks, I think it's just going to be an awesome matchup. So unfortunately,
oh, yeah.
The NHL's making us wait a couple days for that one, but I'm looking forward to that more than I am watching the Rangers try to completely squelch any kind of enthusiasm the young Lightning forwards do, although I did pick the Lightning to go to the Cup Final, so I have a vested interest in that one as well. What are your thoughts on the two conference final matchups there?
All right, I couldn't agree with you more with the way you broke it down right there. You know, with the Rangers, they love playing 2-1 hockey. It's very annoying, as we both know, and I'm sure many listeners know as Penguins fans. It's you just sit there and watch, and you're just like, please, just do something. Get something. Chip in. Just find a way. I mean, the only thing we saw that was entertaining was game 2. Yes, because they won, but also because, you know, Crosby got a chance to have some open ice and do Crosby things. With the Lightning, Stamkos showed a little bit of flash and flair, and Stamkos did look like the juggernaut that he was in the regular season against the Canadiens, but it's going to be sad to see him just completely just stuffed in this next one. And what's Callahan? If Callahan's going to be back with his pancreatitis, you know, I hope he comes back, but who knows what's going to happen there. And then out West, I mean, every game's going to probably be 4-3 unless unless Crawford goes full Flurry meltdown, which I hope every game, because then that means they can go from 2-1 to 6-4 in 30 seconds.
I feel like it's all been swept under the carpet how Corey Crawford was essentially in backup duty during the first round series against Nashville. Kind of reminds me of when the Wings won the Cup in 08 and Dominic Hasek was in for at least the early part of that playoff run, and then it was all Chris Osgood from there, as Penguins fans could definitely remind you. We're talking to TJ McAloon on City of Champions Radio. Some Penguins, some NHL so far. And getting back to the Pens, one last thing, TJ, before we move on. What would be your big fix? What do you think this team needs more than anything? Or does it just need to get healthy? What are your thoughts on all that?
No matter what they do, we as fans are going to love it to start. You know, when they added Perron,
yep.
Great player. He's going to be the missing key. When they added Winnick, oh, my God, he's the penalty killer we need. When they added the Cole, yes, perfect add. When they added Lovejoy, great, we brought him back. He's the character guy we need. And then they don't live up to our insanely high expectations. And then we crush every single one of them and tell them that the worst thing since ISIS. So no matter who they add, I hope that they – I mean, an ideal trade for me, get rid of Fleury, send him to St. Louis, right? Bring back Tarasenko, let him and not Nugent Hopkins, but Yakupov play on the Russian line with Malkin. You know, let's bring that back. And then, you know, let who's the kid in the AHL that posted like a 1.6 goals against average this year or 1.9?
Matt Murray.
Yes. Let's see what Murray can do. Or we go out to Anaheim. And we say, what's it going to take to get Gibson back home to Pittsburgh? What's it going to take? Obviously, you don't want him because you're playing, I forget the other guy's name right now.
Frederick Anderson.
Yes. Thank you. See, it's a West Coast game. I have a two-month-old. I barely stay up for anything.
It's okay.
So, you know, we see. You know, we don't have any draft picks until 2045. So maybe an extra, you know, maybe Sutter goes there. Maybe Kunitz goes back to Anaheim. Let's see what we can do. Let's play around. Let's get creative here. Let's bring John Gibson back. All right, let him play in front of the hometown crowd. And this Western Conference Final. I mean, yes, Crawford is there from the Cup run they had a couple years ago, but Frederick Anderson, you know, is a starter for the first time this year. Calgary with their combination of goalies. You know, someone that wasn't there. And even Minnesota. Minnesota got Dubnyk at the trade deadline. So you don't need a franchise goalie to go far in this league.
I would agree. I'm on board with going cheap with goaltending. I was before the extension was signed just this past fall with Marc-Andre Fleury. I enjoy Fleury. I think he's an entertaining goalie. I think he's a great guy. And I think he can definitely put together a pretty good run of goaltending. And I think he's probably in his prime right now, too. But at the same time, when you're a team like the Pens and you're paying Crosby, Malkin, the max, and you're paying Chris Letang a lot of money, I'm just not sure you can pay a goalie that much money. And with Matt Murray playing as well as he has, or you threw out an option, John Gibson, but be that as it may, both guys have one thing in common. They're on their entry-level contracts, and that's so important in the salary cap era. So I'm with you on the goaltending flexibility. I feel like you and I would get shouted down by a lot of Pens fans these days on that because Fleury has been great. But I do think you have to get creative, especially when you have some max players on your roster in terms of yearly salary. So something to consider, and I like your enterprising spirit. I think it is time to get creative, and Jim Rutherford said he was going to try to make some trades because the free agent crop isn't looking very promising, at least in terms of forwards. That's one thing that we know for sure. Let's switch gears over to baseball and the Pirates. And TJ, if you would have told me, 7 weeks into the season, whatever we are right now, that the Pirates have really been unable to hit, I would say that that would be highly unlikely because I thought this would be, like it was last year, one of the better offenses in the National League, if not in all of baseball. And instead, if anything, it's been more of a pitching-based team, although Jeff Locke got drilled today at Wrigley Field. But prior to that, and really all-encompassing, it has been a pretty good performance from the starters from the bullpen, but the hitting has lagged behind. How do you figure that? What are your feelings on how we've gotten to this point?
Well, as my buddy Bob Healy says, who works at over at Duquesne in their teaching in their media department, Jeff Locke is terrible. So that sums it up right there. He's just a terrible, terrible person. I mean, he might be a good person off the field, you know, donates to a lot of charities, might be like Ross Oldenhorf and is really smart and will intern with Congress, but on the field, he's just a terrible. It's like real life Robin, you know, he is just Batman's lackey that ends up getting into a lot of trouble and needs someone to come bail him out. So that's Jeff Locke. And hopefully, I saw Charlie Morton had seemed like he had a good outing in Indianapolis. So, you know, when he comes back,
yes,
hopefully he overtakes Locke's role. And, you know, see what some of the other kids down in Indy can do. I'm not sure what Stetson Ali is doing down there or if he's even back to throwing, you know, from his Tommy John surgery. Oh, no, not Stetson Ali. James Tallion.
Jameson Tallion, you mean. Yeah, sorry. I was thinking Stetson Ali. He's a hitter now.
He is. It's like Jack Eichel. I thought he was a defenseman for the longest time until I was like, oh, he plays center. Oh, yeah, I'm mistaken on that one. But, yeah, James Tallion. Let's see where he's at, you know, from being the Gerrit Cole's number two. Because I think two or three years ago, he was supposed to be the, you know, the 1B if Gerrit Cole is 1A. And they're going to be the 1-2 punch of this pitching rotation for the next 8 years. But, you know, hopefully he's throwing again and he can regain that form. Hitting-wise, I think this team has come back to where – more where their average is. Like, do we really expect James Harrison to be an all-star player from here on out? You know, a good player, maybe. A player that's going to hit 320 and belt 15 home runs and drive in 60-some-odd RBIs while stealing a couple of bases, a leadoff guy? No, he was never going to be that leadoff guy. He was always going to be a platoon player. So I think we're seeing him revert. I did not know Marte was a cleanup hitter who would hit for power. I thought he was always a leadoff man. So I'm just as surprised, maybe as you are, maybe you're not, that he's now their main guy.
I always liked Marte's power potential. It seemed like when he put the bat on the ball, it flew. So I'm just happy that he's making more contact, and he seems to have at least made some progress in terms of his approach at the plate. I think he's gotten to be a more mature hitter, and I think maybe pipe dream, best case scenario before the season, I thought Marte could develop into a real power guy and give you some bonus in that category, and he really has. So you've got to love that, but at the same time, McCutchen looks like he's pulling out of it. I think that knee really was the issue with his swing, and it got him all messed up in terms of his mechanics. But you mentioned Josh Harrison. I'm just not sure what you can expect out of a guy who never walks. So it's all going to be dependent on him getting pitches to hit, and that doesn't always happen. And Jordy Mercer, it looks like he's playing himself out of a regular role. Jung Ho Gung getting the start again today at Wrigley Field, which I don't have a problem with. Good thing the Bucks picked him up, because I suppose the depth was something that the Pirates wanted to work on, and maybe they didn't feel too good about either Mercer or Harrison repeating their 2014 seasons, or they're looking beyond with the potential that Neil Walker does not sign long-term with the club. What's your feeling on that? Do you think the Pittsburgh kid's going to stick around?
I was going to bring this up with Gibson. Three words for you. Maybe guess two, if depending how you spell it. I'm terrible at grammar. It's probably why I don't write as much. But hometown discount, you know. Yeah, I think that's going to come into play. I mean, Neil Walker, he can easily make, you know, 4 or 5 years, $40, $50 million. And you would think that'd be good enough for him. I'm not sure where that ranks among other second basemen, but he's an average second baseman when it comes to things. I look at Fangraphs. And first off, Mercer is a tire fire put inside of a dumpster fire of where he ranks among everyone else. It's just it's the only team, only thing on this team that ranks dead last among the entire major leagues. If not, I know the National League, if not the whole majors, is shortstop. So I think it is time to cut bait on him and just let him go the way of, you know, the many, many people passed, you know, of a Kevin Polkovich. You know, I just made me think of this. My brain just going completely off words. Do you think Harrison has a Kevin Polkovich and Freddie Garcia type thing about him in that great 1 year, and the next thing you know, he kind of just falls off the face of the earth?
Well, I don't think either of those two guys ever had a year as good as Josh Harrison did last year. He was worth, I believe
Garcia
it was five
win.
Or six wins, so...
I mean, Freddy Sanchez did win a batting title and then went off to San Fran and won a World Series and then just kind of just departed. But, I mean, aside from their one good year, you never really heard from them ever since.
I think Freddy Sanchez is definitely in a higher category than, like, a Polkovich. I think people look at that that one-year batting title and maybe think he was more of a one-off, but when he stayed on the field, he was effective. That was his problem, and it was his problem in San Francisco, too. He just couldn't get that back, I believe it was, in playing shape. But, hey, when he was healthy, he was a really good contact type of guy. I still feel like Josh Harrison is an unknown, and maybe the Pirates felt that way, and that's why they went out and got going in the offseason. Who knows? But it is definitely a concern, and looking like the Pirates are about to drop their third in a row here and right back under 500. So, tough times right now, although it is nice to see McCutchen. I wanted to ask you about this, too. He talked to Pete Rose the other day over the phone, and that was fun, I think. First of all, it's great to see Pete back in a prominent role, and really it's been the only time he's been in a prominent role in the world of baseball since he was banned from the game. But he's on Fox Sports 1 these days. He's spinning a few yarns. I find myself highly entertained by him being on a studio set. Do you think that this is maybe just kind of snowballing toward his eventual, reinstatement in the world of baseball?
Yeah, until he does something stupid and says something out of place, and next thing you know, he becomes public enemy number one again for whatever reason. It's the way that it's going to happen. He's going to think he said something that was serious. I mean, not serious, but in baseball terms, wouldn't be anything. But then you know, the media will spin it to the wrong way, and next thing you know, he'll be back to having to issue apologies or you know just be caught in the wrong way of some crossfire. It's hopefully it doesn't happen, but with him, it's like, what's his face? Ozzie Guillen, right? We love him for his being candid, but he could be too candid and he says too much stuff that doesn't fit in as politically correct, then they're going to shoo him away, and there goes his chance at being welcomed back into the good graces of baseball.
I do like that loose cannon characteristic for TV. It makes for really good TV, in my opinion, because you don't know what he's going to say next, but you're right. It may not bode well for his long-term status in the game. Of course, at this point, what does he have to lose? I don't think too much.
I think
he's probably doing pretty well for himself. Anyway, last thing. We're kind of out of time here, getting down toward the bottom of the hour. The NFL draft just passed, and I still feel like that the whole Tom Brady Patriot situation has grabbed the majority of the news. It was more of a story, and even among Steelers fans, which I find to be rather pathetic, I've seen more buzz on Brady and the quote-unquote Cheatriots than I have over Bud Dupree and whether that was a good pick. So I think we may have reached the peak of Steelers paranoia, at least among their fans, haven't we?
We have. I mean, it's the point where people think that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to throw for 400 yards and four touchdowns on week one because of it's the Patriots. You know, they could put in Garrett Gilbert, who's their third stringer that left University of Texas for SMU, and they think he'll even throw for 350 and lead them to a 14-2 record and a first-round bye and potentially another Super Bowl. So it is what it is. They're still going to have a very good year. The Steelers should win that game week one, and just because you know they're playing Jimmy Garoppolo, which no one knows anything of except for he looks really good, just like Tom Brady looks really good. He'll fit very well on a magazine cover. But Bud Dupree, I mean, good kid out of Kentucky, which you normally don't hear that they have good players at Kentucky. It's like having a good player at Kansas. You know, you think you're playing getting a basketball star, not a guy who is, you know, an All-American in football. But, I mean, it's like when we got Jarvis Jones a couple years ago from Georgia. Everyone thought he was great. This kid came in Mark Richt's system. Here's some highlights of him, just destroying people in the SEC. And then he turned out to be a big fart noise. We don't know what we're getting in these kids. Hopefully they'll be great. Hopefully they're like Ryan Shazier and be, you know, an all-world talent that's showing flashes of being a next great Steeler linebacker. Or they turn out to be like Ziggy Hood, who's really good, but, you know, never really gets to that next level. So we'll see.
Like my co-editor at City of Champions said, it's all starting to feel a little Detroit Lions-esque with the Steelers picking linebacker after linebacker in the first round. I don't think
That's
we've gotten
right.
quite to that point of ignominy and, frankly, ineptitude in the NFL draft as far as the Steelers are concerned, but it is getting a little strange, especially this year when you really thought that they were going to go for someone out of the defensive backfield.
And no one has gotten in trouble like Charles Rogers has, so that's a win. You know, no one has gone up a lot of 7-Elevens, so progress on that not that realm. So that's good. Way to go. Way to stay inside the player conduct policy.
That's a point to the positive for the Steelers and their player personnel guys. Well, TJ, we're out of time. This half hour flew by. We'll have to have you on again. I'm surprised it took me this long to get you on the show. I enjoyed the trade proposals and all the rest. And tell the listeners where they can find you once again in all corners of the internet.
So, first thing, St. Louis is desperate for a goalie. So, bend him over a barrel and make him pay whatever you tell him to pay for Fleury. They're that desperate. They're like a crack addict that needs a hit. Just give them something to get them their fix, because they need a goalie and they just are going to want anything. But for me, I have a big piece coming out on Fashion X Austin, presented by Austin Fashion Week. It's all on the Austin Turf Cats. They're a semi-pro football team that they don't get paid anything to play football, but yet they try to act like they're regular professionals with running into each other at high collision speeds, which is stupid. I play beer league hockey, and there's no contact for a reason, because we're 32-year-old idiots that just want to drink beer after a game. You know, I don't need to get paid, and I just want to play hockey because I like the game and I like getting good exercise in. But the story is on their dance team, which they, like I said, don't get any money from the team whatsoever, but they still act and perform like a professional squad you would see every Sunday or Saturday for college. They do everything themselves. They fund everything themselves, and they have to go out and hustle and make deals and do whatever they can to get makeup and hair and styles and photo shoots and calendars without having no budget on them. So I'm very happy, and you can find that at Fashion X Austin hopefully now or later this week.
And you're on Twitter at TJ McAloon. Like myself, you're able to carve out your actual name for your Twitter handle, which is really handy for me. It keeps things simple.
If you like me replying to people, saying stuff about Pittsburgh sports, wrestling, or dog pictures, that's the place to come to right there.
That's it. And I now I understand a little bit more why we get along. You play adult league hockey. I do, too. It's a blast. So that's a good time. And if you're ever up in Pittsburgh anytime soon, we'll have to, like you said, grab a Yingling and maybe grab a Permanis at the same time down at PNC Park. TJ, thanks so much. I enjoyed it.
All right, buddy. Talk to you soon.
Okay, that's TJ McAloon. And I mentioned you can find him at various places. Just go to his Twitter profile. That's the easiest way. It's TJ McAloon. Very easy to find on the Twitter.com, if you will. Thanks again for listening. This wraps up another week of City of Champions Radio, a couple of episodes. It was myself and co-editor Larry Snyder on Wednesday, and me and TJ today. And you can go to iTunes to subscribe if you like, or you can just access the show at blogtalkradio.com/my name, Matt Gaitka. That's MATTGAJTKA. We have some treats coming up for you on the broadcast next week. That'll be announced soon on my Twitter account and also on the City of Champs Twitter account. You can find that, City_of_champs_, and we're also on Facebook too. Thanks so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed it like I did. This has been Matt Gaitka reminding you that when the radio fades, you know life's moving fast. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you on the other side on City of Champions Radio.